Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
All right, let's get into it, hey? Last year, I had the privilege of taking some paternity leave. And I took some time out to be primary carers for my two daughters. And during that time, I'd often find myself at the local park in my Ugg boots, my tracky dacks, breakfast all down my shirt, bed hair, coffee in hand, nappies and bottles strapped to my waist, watching my daughters play on the play equipment. And at one stage, one of my daughters would climb to the top of this circular slide, you know the ones. And thank you. And she would say, "Look at me, Daddy," and then she'd sit down and hold on really firmly to the sides, and then in slow motion, applying as much friction as possible, she'd come down this slide, land on the bottom, shuffle along, hop off, and big grin on her face. I say, "Fantastic, you know, congratulations." She goes back up and does it all over again. And this is happening, and I'm looking at how silly it looks. And I really, it was one of those moments where you just feel like the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and I heard the words, "Let your yes be yes." And I began to just kind of take in what was happening. A slide only has one purpose, and that is to give its user a moment of enjoyment, yeah? And all you have to do with a slide is give yourself over to it. Let go of control and allow the geometry of the slide, the forces of momentum and gravity to take over and carry you at speed down the slide. But my daughter, by applying friction and breaking with her hands like she was thwarting the very purpose for which that slide was designed. In a way, she was saying yes, yes to using the slide, but then no, all the way down. And her no was killing the possibility that her yes had created. And I know what you're thinking. I'm being way too critical of a two-year-old. And I agree with you. But when I saw her coming down that slide, I saw myself. And I saw everywhere in my life that I had been saying, "Yes, look at me, Daddy," on one end, and "No," on the other. And my no was killing my yes. One of those areas was our being a father. You know, when Bianca and I decided to have kids, it was a great big yes. Yes to having a family, bringing a human being into the world, creating this loving, fun, nurturing home. And we were so energized by that joyous possibility. But when my firstborn came along, 5 weeks premature and in the middle of a poorly timed house renovation, it was a shock. She got up early every morning and I had to say goodbye to my sleep-ins. And she required constant supervision, and I'd see my mountain bike rusting away in the garage and this book full of books that I used to be able to read when I was a child-free parent. And I would also, and she didn't sleep. You know, you'd put it to bed after resisting, you know how it is. And then I'd be getting up 2 or 3 times a night to give Bianca a break after the day shift. And this would go on day after day. And after a while, I realized I was losing sight of my yes. And there was a no in there. And my no was killing the very joy and life-giving possibility that my yes has created. Tonight, we're here because we said yes to something, yeah? And some of you probably said yes to that very annoying friend or family member who's been inviting you to church over and over again. But for a lot of us, we're saying yes to something that we've choosing to make a habit in our lives, to set aside time every weekend to be in the presence of God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the Word, to stand in worship and pour out our hearts to the Father and be serving others and allowing them to serve us. But how many times do you find yourself doing things that don't really support the fulfillment of what you said yes to? And in James chapter 5, verse 12, it says, above all things, let your yes... Oh, actually, it doesn't say that. It says, above all things, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or anything else, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. But above all things, James says, brother of Jesus, writes one epistle in the New Testament, let your yes be yes. And I'd often read this and think, that is putting a lot of emphasis on something which I wouldn't have ordinarily thought would be that significant. Let your yes be yes. And of course, James is quoting Jesus, big brother Jesus, who in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, also teaches against making oaths and also counsels us to let our yes be yes. And the Lord says anything else comes from the evil one. And what's really important for us to realize in trying to draw out the significance of this principle is that all the way through Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is trying to give us an insight into the character of the Father. Okay? So he follows this verse by saying, I want you to love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And he finishes this passage with the words, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if you go back through that passage, it all starts making sense. He says, the law says don't murder, but I say to you, don't have malice in your heart to anyone. The law says don't commit adultery, but I say to you, don't even have a thought for self-gratification towards someone else. The law says fulfill your vows to God, but I say don't make vows at all, but let your yes be yes, so that you may be children of your Father. It is the Father whose yes is so powerful, it can stand alone and it does not need to be reinforced with an oath. So then, we're talking about the yes of the Father. Let's talk about what yes is and what the yes of the Father might look like. If I say yes to something, I say to that something, I give you existence. When I was on one knee proposing marriage to Bianca on Burley Heads almost 7 years ago, and she said yes, at that moment she brought into existence the possibility of something that could not have otherwise existed. Yes, the Father's yes is an intentional, creative, and life-giving act. And when we think about yes that way, and we think about the first yes, the first let it be, was the yes of the Father who spoke the universe into being in Genesis chapter 1. And the whole of creation is reverberating with the Father's yes. When you say yes, when you let your yes be yes, when your life takes on the spirit of a yes, you affirm the first yes, you come into agreement with the very first word of the Father. Your own life. And so yes has this creative capacity about it. When we say yes, the way the Father says yes, what we're doing is creating the clearing for the will and intention of the Father to be manifest in the world. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and he pronounces the coming of the Savior and the important role that she was to play in that event, these are her words: "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." And with that "let it be," with that "yes," there was a thunderclap through all of eternity and a clearing for the will and intent of God to be manifest in the world. There are yeses in your life that are waiting to release. There is a grace of heaven pent up behind a yes that you need to let fly in some situations in your life. And one of the most important yeses you can make in your life is the yes to yourself. To let your yes to yourself be yes. Yes to your calling, yes to your giftedness, yes to your fullest potential in God. So that when the angel of the Lord says to you and starts to speak to your potential and fullest destiny, what comes out of your mouth is not self-deprecation, self-loathing, self-sabotage, but "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be done according to your word." Yeah? For some of us, to say yes the way the Father says yes, it's about bringing intention to the yeses that you already have in your life. You signed a contract of employment. That was a yes. Are you letting that be an intentional, creative, life-giving act in your life? What would it look like for you to let your yes be yes in that workplace or place of education? A marriage is a yes. A marriage is not just the yes that you exchange when you give your vows to one another, but if you let your yes be yes the way the Father lets his yes be yes, you are standing in a relatedness with that person as a yes. A yes to their extraordinariness, a yes to their ordinariness, a yes to their shortcomings, a yes to their fullest potential in God, their hopes, their dreams, their future. Can you imagine what it would be like to have somebody who is fixed as a yes in your life? And I hear some of you saying, "Boy, this is a little bit different to the way I normally understand yes." You know, like the last time I said yes was, "Do you want fries with that?" Yes. You know, it's a transactional thing in your life, right? And it's a really good discernment to have, because there's this gap between the way that an ordinary human being says yes and the way the children of the Father say yes, like he does, as a creative, intentional, life-giving act. And you know, there's a quality about the Father's yes that gives its power, that gives its miraculous working dynamic. And Paul talks about this a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. He says this: "The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, is not yes and no. It has always been yes in him." Now, Jesus is the word of the Father. He is the yes of the Father to humanity. I love that. Jesus is the yes of the Father to humanity. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. Now, this is where we get to the next part here, is that the yes of the Father is complete, undivided, and without reserve. When heaven gives up Jesus, heaven gives up everything there is to give up. There are no cards left on the sleeve, all the cards on the table, nothing left in the kit. It's a full expression of the divine Godhead. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when Jesus ministers, when he ministers throughout the New Testament, he is constantly working with people. He's working with people's yeses. And he's helping them find the place in their yes, which is no. He's helping them find the place in their yes, which is not yes, which is incomplete, divided, or there's something in them that's being held in reserve. In Peter is a great example. Peter's a great example for a lot of things, including this message tonight. On the eve of Christ's crucifixion, with all the disciples gathered around, it's the Last Supper, he said, Lord, if all of these other disciples forsake you, I will never forsake you. I am willing to go to prison. I am willing to die for you, says Peter. Great big yes to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, Peter, before tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. What's he doing? Is he being mean and vindictive? No. He's doing something very merciful. He's pointing to the place in his yes, which is no. The no that's killing the power, the creative, life-giving yes that he presents to Jesus. He says to him, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've come through this, you'll turn and be a strength to your brothers. Isn't Jesus wonderful? The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, incredible, beautiful section. He comes, as Jesus is about to go on a journey, he comes, kneels before the Lord, and he says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that's a yes, right there. That's somebody who says yes to their own salvation. One of the most important yeses someone can make. He's done with the wealth accumulation. He's done with the endless pursuit of achievement. He's done with the pleasure seeking. I want to embrace the ultimate Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, you know the law. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not murder. And he says, I've done all these things since I was a child. And then Jesus does something to him that he does with no one else in the Gospels. The Bible says that Jesus looks at him and loves him. What's happening? He sees the yes. He sees the incredible potential behind that yes. And then he says to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all your possessions, give what you make to the poor, then come, follow me. What's happening? Like a heat-seeking missile, shoo, he finds the place in his yes, which is no. He finds the place where his yes is not complete. It's not undivided, and he's holding himself in reserve. And there's no other place in Scripture where I think that yes is most well expressed than the anointing of Jesus. And maybe I can have some keys. Thanks. The anointing of Jesus 1 week before his crucifixion. And if I use my Holy Spirit imagination and I see the week before Jesus' crucifixion and what's happening in the spiritual realm up to that point as the host of heaven, the cherubim, seraphim, the elders, everyone's leaning over heaven to witness the ultimate climax of the universe, and the intensity in the spiritual atmosphere is reaching this crescendo. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is going to represent the reconciliation of mankind to the Father. And I can hear the voice of the Father ringing out through heaven, I want to anoint my son for burial. I want to anoint my son for burial. But I need a yes. I need a complete, undivided yes. Without reserve. Who will create that clearing for me to anoint my son? And the scene is really ordinary. Jesus is at a feast, at a meal. He's got his disciples there. He's got the Pharisees there. And the Holy Spirit gate crashes the party when he moves on a young woman who breaks into this scene against all social convention, sweeping in worship and adoration and heartfelt devotion for Jesus. And she carries this vase of expensive perfume. Bible says it's worth a year's wages. It's probably equivalent to her family's entire savings. And she walks into that room and she begins to pour out this perfume on Jesus' head and on his feet. And she kneels down, her tears flowing, and she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And the room erupts with reaction. The Pharisees are saying, if Jesus knew how sinful this woman is, he wouldn't let her touch him. The disciples are equally critical. They're saying, this perfume was worth so much, it could have been sold and given to the poor. They're seeing the economic waste. And Jesus says to them, don't criticize her. She has done a beautiful thing to me. And wherever the gospel is preached, she will be remembered. That's what the Father's yes looks like. It's a complete, undivided yes without reserve. No entitlement. No, if I do this, then you do that. No get out clauses. It's just yes. Yes, yes, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. Yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to your word, yes to your spirit, yes to the trouble, yes to the trial. Yes, and I trust in you. I trust in you. You know, just as we're standing together and we go into a time of worship, I really feel the Holy Spirit wanted to say to some people tonight, I have come tonight to remind you of your yes to me. You gave yourself to me without ifs, buts, or maybes. With pure heart and fervent lips, you committed your life to me, not under compulsion, but as a free will offering. I have not forgotten the sacred place of our covenant. You did not say yes to the safe and predictable. You did not say yes to that which is desirable or pleasing in the eyes of the world or with any entitlement to glory or promotion, but your commitment was given in the secret place, in a place shared only between you and me, away from the witness of any other, with simple and unadorned love from your very heart of hearts. You abandoned yourself to me. I have not forgotten the sacred place of our covenant. The years have not in the least diminished its value to me. I am reminding you tonight of your yes to me. So let your yes be yes. Thank you, God. And I'm just thinking tonight it would be presumptuous of me to end here without giving some here tonight an opportunity to say yes to the Father for the first time. You know, as I've been sharing and talking about the yes of the Father and the yes to humanity through His Son Jesus, that's a yes to you. That's the invitation to be included in the family of God. He affirms you tonight by His Holy Spirit. And just while every head is bowed, eyes are closed, I just would like to give an opportunity for those to be praying with me tonight for the first time, to give your life afresh to the Father. So just as I lead you out, I really pray together, everybody with me, that you just pray this prayer of commitment, prayer of covenant, to invite Jesus into your life. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come here tonight. I recognize my need of you. I ask you to come and be my Lord and Savior. I receive your forgiveness of sins. I receive your release into a life of freedom tonight. And I say yes to you, and I receive your yes to me. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yes.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.